breaking news before it makes the news. Broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. My first guest, Diane Diamond, you all know is an investigative reporter, ET correspondent, someone who's been in the business for a long time. We've had her on talking about the Anthony case in the past, and in fact, she tells me she's working on her Daily Beast article about the Beast in Orlando. No, I shouldn't say that. About that was terrible.
That was a pretty good double entendre there.
Is that what you call that? Okay.
How are you this evening?
I'm fine, Diane Diamond. Everyone knows you. We love you, and we can't live without you. I stole that from David Letterman. Lots to talk about, Diane. You know, if you remember when we were young and when our children were young, poor old Wile E. Coyote, he got blamed for everything, and he would walk around with the, you know, the sign saying, uh-oh, after he fell off the cliff, or the stick of dynamite he had in his hand when he was going to chase the Roadrunner would blow up. And looks like he's getting blamed for digging up the body. Now, let's talk about how crazy this day has been.
Well, you know, every day I tune in, and I must say, I keep looking for a fair fight, and I keep not finding one.
No.
You know, Jose Baez is a great guy. Honestly, he is. You sit and talk to him, and he's funny, and he's charming, and he's whatever, but the bottom line is he's not as experienced as the state. And he's got a client who may not be as cooperative as he likes or changes her story a lot, and it comes out in court in ways that make him look inexperienced, unprepared, and I say this on the radio, bitch slap for the judge. The judge has got it in for this guy, and I'm not saying that the judge is bad. I think Belvin Perry is a very, very good judge. But Jose Baez has made him mad to the point where he's threatening sanctions against him at the end of the trial. He's threatening contempt of court proceedings against him and the other attorney in the case. He's pretty unclear on which one he was actually talking about, but he's been made very unhappy by Jose Baez, and it's just like, that's a great example, the Wile E. Coyote falling off the cliff and with the little sign saying, uh-oh.
Diane Diamond's here, and I agree with you. Now, whether he's bringing it on himself with his apparent incompetence or what it is, but it you've covered court for a long time, Diane. I've testified in court for a long time, and the important thing about it is credibility. And if you can't bring your witness out as being credible, and then your witness gets slaughtered in cross, it all comes back to just how reliable that person's going to be. And when we're all hearing reports of the jurors yawning, stretching, closing their eyes, well, that's just typical. But I think he's loosening them, and he's loosening them fast. No matter what the pundits are saying on TV, Mr. Baez is in big trouble, in my opinion.
I do believe that you're right. Now, I must tell you, I have, like, I don't know, 2 bazillion Twitter friends. I've learned how to Twitter.
There you
and
go.
Many of them say, this guy is fly like a fox. He is deliberately not getting written reports from expert witnesses, even though he knows there's a court order to do that. He's overstepping his bounds in direct examination, even though he knows he shouldn't do it, because if he gets enough slapdowns from the judge and enough unsustained objections, then he can use that to build an appeal.
Sure. Yeah.
So many of my Twitter friends who really pay attention to stuff like this think, oh, no, he's not stupid. He's not inexperienced. Yeah, this is a plan. This is deliberate on his part.
Well, six,
I'm not sure I buy that.
Yeah, six of one, half a dozen of the other. If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, will it get appealed? I'm not sure. Diane Diamond's here. You can check out our website by clicking on the link in the show notes. Let's talk about River Cruz, River Phoenix, whatever her name is, Christian Holloway. We've been talking about her here on this show for a number of years. I find it amazing that a defense witness that's been subpoenaed is all of a sudden doing interviews on Headline News or wherever she was, doesn't matter, and is basically saying now what she didn't say or going opposite to what her deposition is River Cruz, Christian Holloway, whatever her name is, going to make a difference in this case, or is she just looking for her 16 seconds of fame?
That's a good way to put it. You know, I'm not sure about her. She has been out in the hallway for a couple of days. In fact, the Anthony, George and Cindy Anthony's attorney, Mr. Lippman, said to reporters the other day, oh, he spotted her out in the waiting area, which we all have to walk by when we go to the court, so we see who's there waiting to come on. And Mr. Lippman looked at reporters and said, oh, this is going to be an ugly day.
Yeah.
Well, that was a couple days ago. So they haven't brought this woman out. And, you know, it could be, as my Twitter friends say, it could be a psych out.
Yeah.
It could be, let's sit Crystal up there in the ante room and just freak everybody out. And, you know, maybe we'll make George snap to the point where he stands up in court and says, okay, I did it. Which I don't think is ever going to happen. But it could be a lawyer game trick, or she could be called tomorrow.
Yeah, so just... Because,
you know, Dana, I don't know what they have left. They've had the CSI people on, they've had the Body Farm people on, they've had a lot of the forensic stuff. They're just rehashing and rehashing, and in my opinion, they're like beating it to death. They're reminding the jury what the state's case is by doing all this. So maybe they're going to do a shift around and bring her up tomorrow.
It could be a distraction. It may not be. It's hard to say. Diane Diamond's here. Speaking of forensics, the forensic so-called defense experts have turned around and actually have done more for the prosecution, in my opinion. But Werner Spitz, and I've talked about him on the show before, and I'm not going to question his credentials. But honest to goodness, while I watched him on the stand with that skull, and I don't think he knew how to put the top back on it because he was kind of fumbling around. And it reminded me of you remember the old Operation game, Diane, where you'd have to pick the pieces out of the, and if you got too close to it, you got a little bit of a zap. Well, this poor guy, I have $5,000 a day. I've heard, some people are saying more than that. Did Werner Spitz do anything for the defense besides, just grandstand for the cameras?
Well, you never know what's in a jury's mind. You know, you only need one. But to my mind, I'm not going to question his credentials either, but I will question his shelf life. and you know, this is a guy who, he appears very scholarly, but when Jeff Ashton, the prosecutor, got up to really drill down, he got flustered. He got belligerent. He got kind of nasty, I thought.
Yeah.
One of his big points was, and he takes the prop skull out with a big swoop, you know, big ta-da.
Yeah.
And he takes the top off the skull. Well, first of all, this is an adult skull.
Yeah.
And he makes it clear that this is not Kaylee Anthony's skull, but you know, I'm the only one who thought to take the top of her skull off to really look inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, a child's skull is as big as your palm. You don't have to take the top off to look inside. You just look right into where, you know, the eye sockets are, or the neck, the spine goes up in. I don't want to get too gross about this, but you don't have to take the top of the skull off. Yet he made that point over and over again. I'm smarter than any of you, but oh gosh, I can't really answer all of your questions. And the one I found most interesting was, he declares that the baby was laid on her left side because of the sediment he found inside the skull. Yet, the skull was found in an upright position, so somebody was there and somebody moved that skull.
Yep.
Well, how about all the water rising and lowering after Hurricane Faye blew in there, number one? But the most important thing to me, Dana, was he never tested the residue found inside the brain. He just declared, inside the skull, he just declared that it was brain dust.
Yeah.
And as Jeff Ashton made a point, well, how about maybe it was sediment? How about, you know, with leaf litter or, you know, something, you know, from all the rains and a hurricane blew in there? Oh, no, no, no. He said it was green dust. Well, did you test it? No. But I know because I've had 56 years in the business. So that also came off a little arrogant.
Yeah. And sometimes a good witness will be, maybe arrogance, not the word I'm looking for, but will be confident in their testimony. But you can grandstand and you can, what's the word O'Reilly likes, bloviate, as much as you
want. You should know, my friend
Bill. As much as you want, but you're not going to get anywhere. And I thought with him, in fact, he was so mixed up, he didn't really know much about the case, and admitted that himself. Now, I'm seeing some late reports that he wanted to be in the initial autopsy, but Dr. G didn't want him there, so that's what started the rift between them. Now, whether that's accurate or not, I'm not sure, but I'm curious from your perspective, Diane, as an investigative reporter, putting Dr. G up against Dr. Spitz, will the jury be swayed one way or the other, or really has the defense done anything that will show a reasonable doubt when it comes to the forensics in this case?
Well, there's a couple questions there. First of all, I don't think they've made a dent on the forensics. Again, I think they've underscored the state's case more and more and more. They keep talking about these esoteric, you know, other sorts of DNA, touch DNA, and all, you know, all this other stuff, but it doesn't matter. But to your first point, Dana, Dr. G stole the show.
Yeah.
Dr. G, to me, and I don't know the woman, I've never even seen, I guess she has a TV show, I've never even seen it.
Right.
But this woman, to my mind, has been the premier witness of all. She's very confident without being arrogant, like you say, and she just painted this picture as a mother of a daughter, as a mother of a granddaughter. I listened to her say, there are three reasons why I said this was a homicide. Number one, it wasn't reported for 31 days, and then not by the mother, by the way. Number two, she was triple bagged in garbage bags and a laundry bag and thrown away to rot in a dump. And number three, no child should die with duct tape on their face.
Right.
And then she just stopped. She says no extra words. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Some people, well, probably like me, use too many words in a sentence to describe what they want. She was just point. She was blank. She was stark. And it was just chilling to hear this medical doctor speak in such stark terms of this little tiny child being thrown away. I thought she was the best.
I agree. Diane Diamond's here, and following the Anthony case, let's talk about the Body Farm guy, Bill Rodriguez. That turned out to be a disaster, and I'm very proud of the monkeys from my one of my blogs that I'm associated with that picked up on this guy. He's as phony as a $3 bill. Let's talk about this fella.
Oh, yes. Mr. Rodriguez came forward. And, you know, I've always heard about the Body Farm from my days on the television show Hard Copy to writing now for the Daily Beast. The Body Farm, I'd never heard his name before. I'd never heard that he was a co-founder of the Body Farm as he testified. And I know what you're talking about here because I ran across that piece of research today from Red over at the Scared Monkeys that they wrote to the Body Farm and they said, who is this guy? And they said, well, they wrote back and they printed the email. He used to be a student here, period. He was not a co-founder at all. And I wonder if Jose Baez knows that because it was his question, Mr. Rodriguez, are you a co-founder of the Body Farm that elicited the yes, which is, wait a minute, if this guy's going to fudge the facts right off, why should we believe anything he said? Well, the bottom line there is, the jury hasn't really heard from him because, in one of the biggest faux pas I've ever seen, Jose Baez did not tell him that he had to write a written report to give to the court.
Yeah.
So, he got about 17 questions in about his curriculum vitae, and then they stood up and said, hey, you know what, we challenge this. demanded that they do a full deposition on him, which they did do on Saturday. And, you know, he still could be excluded as a witness. And there was another one today. So this makes, again, I'm back to my Twitter conspiracy people who say, he can't be this negligent. This has to be an orchestrated idea. Let's just bring up the things that we haven't provided the final reports for and get the judge to toss them out. And that's a great appeal point.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm like you. I don't buy that. I just think it's incompetence. And let's continue on that incompetence train as we're chugging along here with the Diane Diamond and talk about Vasco Thompson, the convicted felon, who apparently had a phone call from or made a phone call to George Anthony. This guy's saying, I never even heard of this guy. I didn't even have a phone when this was happening. Is this another big blunder by Baez? And will this guy even see the stand?
Yeah, I think that's a big oopsie-daisy. And now we're talking about the third, fourth, fifth strike here. Yeah, I lost count. I understand from published reports that he will be deposed soon. And I'll bet you we never see him on the stand.
Yeah.
Because I bet you he has nothing to do with this case. Just a quick backside. This man was convicted of kidnapping. It's kind of a specious word here. It was a domestic abuse thing, where he held his girlfriend, and anyway, he did time for it.
Sure.
And guess who convicted that case? Belvin Perry, the same judge who was sitting on that case.
Oh.
So, again, are they picking on this guy because then that's a good reason to get rid of this judge, or did they really think there was something there? Come on, you can't be that stupid to know, to say, this man and George Anthony, convicted kidnapper, and George Anthony traded several telephone calls, and there's something devious, suspicious going on there, without first checking that the guy didn't even have a phone then. He didn't have that phone number then. You know, is it fly like a fox, or is it incompetence? I just don't know the answer to that.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see for sure. Diane Diamond is here, and we're talking the Anthony case. Let's continue on with the crazy stuff. We'll call this a crazy like a fox night, and bring up my old friend Leonard Padilla, who I had on the show a few times, who's making his rounds on the cable news shows with his theories, and he's talking about Kronk's girlfriend who got the information about the body. And it's all just nut bar stuff.
As far as work at the jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, and you know, a TV gal like yourself, is he worth the 5-minute segment that he's been getting on these shows?
To my mind, no. And you talked at the top of this segment about me working on a Daily Beast piece. I am. And Leonard Padilla is not going to be too happy with it, because Leonard Padilla likes everyone to think that he's intimately involved in every aspect of the case, and he knows Casey Anthony, and he spent time with her, and no, he didn't. Leonard Padilla, hear me out, has only spent a few minutes with Casey Anthony in his entire life and her entire life. The person who spent most of the time with her is a woman named Tracy Conroy. Tracy works for Leonard Padilla, and, you know, if he gets his big TV show out of this, is what I think is his ultimate goal, you know, she might even be on that TV show. But the fact of the matter is, she lived in the Anthony house for 9 days and 9 nights. And she saw early on, and she saw firsthand what was going on. She had interactions with Casey every single day, every hour, she pretended to be Casey to fool the media, because they're about the same weight and height, as she ran out to the car to go to Baez's office. Well, it wasn't really Casey, it was Tracy. And I have spoken to Tracy. Tracy has decided to finally speak out. And so tomorrow, on the Daily Beast, we will release my investigative piece on that. And it will kind of underscore for you, I think, how really silly it is to have Leonard Padilla on as a guest. because he doesn't really know anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was buffaloed by him, too, a couple of times. In fact, three times, I think, I had him on the show.
And I've quoted him as well, so don't feel bad.
And after the third interview, I was actually, and I'm a pretty nice guy, I think, but I was accused of being rude to him on my last interview, and I basically called him out saying he was just a showboater looking for his 13 seconds of fame, and he's got it.
I can't imagine you being rude, Dana.
That and more Diane Diamonds here. All right.
You're Canadian, after all, my father.
That's right. We're not rude, unless you live in Vancouver and you lose the Stanley Cup, but that's...
That's a whole other story
for another show. Okay, I know I've asked you this before. I'm going to ask you again now. A few days into the defense presentation, your thoughts once more. Will Casey take the stand?
Well, you know, I think at some point we keep talking about Jose Baez, but let's remember that there is a whole table full of lawyers there for her.
Yeah.
And one of them is Cheney Mason. And I've spoken with him. I've spoken with his wife. They're delightful people. And he is very, very experienced. I think that, in retrospect, may be Jose Baez's biggest regret, that he didn't let Cheney Mason do more of the upfront questioning. But anyway, I think when it all comes down to it, if this case keeps going the way this case is going, which is, hey, yeah, not so much. You know, they're not gaining any traction. They're not proving their points in the opening statement, which was she was molested and Roy Kronk stole the body and he hid it so that the reward would go up and Lee Anthony abused her too and so did George. And oh my God, they haven't even touched any of that yet. I think there's going to come a time where Cheney Mason looks at Jose and says, you've lost. You have so dug yourself a hole, you've so not scored any points, that the only possible point you have is to bring up Casey Anthony. Now, I don't think that's a good idea, because this is a known liar who, through testimony from others, admits to being a big fat liar. Her own attorney, Jose Baez, says she has imaginary friends. Really? Are we going to believe her? She has imaginary friends and she lies. So I don't think it's a good idea, but in the end, Dana, like you say, it could be their Hail Mary pass.
Well, they say it all goes to credibility, and Casey Anthony is about as credible as a fart in a windstorm, and you can quote.
You're Canadian. You can't say that.
I can't say windstorm. No, that's right. It's something that you can quote me on. But I want to finish up with the last question for you, Diane. And I really appreciate you coming on. I'm going to have Mark Najame on here in a little bit, and we're going to talk.
He's fabulous. I really like him.
We're going to talk more. And this is my question for you again. To put on your TV hat. The way that it's been covered, headline news has been gavel to gavel. They've done a pretty good job. Some of the talking heads, so to speak, are, I don't know what trial they're watching. But when you see yourself, Najame, Bill Schaefer, some of the others that are saying, you know, we can't believe that these other people are actually watching the same trial. I'd like you to rate the coverage of this trial so far. And has it been the trial of the century? I don't think so.
No, I don't either. I mean, I covered O.J., I covered Michael Jackson, I did a little bit on Scott Peterson, but not very much. I did Robert Blake. I've done some big trials. This is not that kind of concentrated media microscope. However, the ratings have been phenomenal for Nancy Grace and James Ellis Mitchell, and other members of the media now are jumping on board because they realize there's a real readable appetite for the show, for this trial out there on their shows. The View has now decided to give a dedicated segment every single day to the Casey Anthony trial with their chief legal correspondent, Chris Cuomo. So that tells you something. So it has garnered an enormous amount of interest. I keep talking to my friends at Entertainment Tonight. you know, when millions and millions of people are watching the same thing on television, isn't that an Entertainment Tonight story? But they don't really do, you know, violent murder cases. So anyway, I think that it has become, because it's come in a sort of dead news time, you know, the Anthony Weiner scandal's over now, and it is summertime when the news starts to get slow, and news directors are looking around going, what's rating? What stories are happening? Oh, Casey Anthony? So at that point, they throw inexperienced reporters who are not experienced at covering court cases, let alone this case, at the story, and they grab on anything. Here's a case in point. Today, let's see, what was the big story today? Oh, that Linda Dreen Burdick, the prosecutor, said in court today that they had just given some discovery to Jose Baez, and he was complaining it came late. And she said, we just got it. It was a tip from somebody about a inmate who was in the same jail as Casey Anthony. Her name is April Worley or something like that.
Right.
And so we're just investigating this. Here's the story, Your Honor, she said. April's young child, a boy, drowned in the backyard pool, and Grandpa was on hand, fished the child out of the pool, and gave him CPR, but alas, he died. So we're trying to figure out, I'm reading between her lines, we're trying to figure out if Casey Anthony heard this story, and that's where she came up with her very similar story, minus the CPR.
Yep.
They got CPR, put in molestation, you know, and that's the same story. So I during a little break in the case, I wandered around, and I looked at Fox News, and now Fox News is blaring this story. Oh, my God, Casey Anthony learned about this story from an inmate at Dana, there's no evidence that they ever spoke in the jail. Casey has always been held in protective custody. Yet, that doesn't matter. That's what they were going with.
Yep.
So, yes, I am with Mark Meijame, and I am with Phil Schaefer, and I'm with some of these people just don't get, some of the reporters just don't get what they want.
I agree. It's, some of it's shotgun journalism, and the defense, I call a reality show defense. All we need now is Snooki to get up and do some cross-examination. Diane Diamond.
You're on fire tonight.
Thank
wow.
you. Oh, you betcha. We need somebody playing the drums in the back here. Thank you, ma'am.
Hey, anytime. I love doing your show. Thanks, Dan.
Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's, I like that. That's Diane Diamond. You know her from Entertainment Tonight, and she's been in the business a long time. Somebody who's to give me the business now and then is Blank from Blank on Crime, and she will join me here shortly on the Dana Pritzer Show, and a little bit later on, Mark Meijame, Orlando attorney, to continue on with our special coverage of the Anthony trial. My name's Dana Pritzer. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Show. My name's Dana Pritzer. It's a honor to have Mr. Mark Meijame on the program for more than 25 years. He has been a leading and renowned defense attorney, litigator, and he's been representing thousands of clients throughout Orlando, Florida, the United States, and, of course, the Caribbean, someone who's been following the Anthony trial for quite some time now. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
If I could get you just to speak up a little bit, please.
I'm going to pick up the phone. That might be a little bit more clear.
Perfect, perfect.
Does that work a little bit better?
That works good. 25 years you've been in the business. Have you ever seen a trial like this one? It's been crazy for sure.
It's actually 30 years, and the answer is no. I've never seen the likes of anything like this. I mean, we've been involved in really some of the biggest, largest cases in Central Florida. We do work, as you mentioned, all over the state, all over the country, and there's just nothing to compare to this.
Let's go back to, it's not day one, but day one of what we saw, the opening statement of Mr. Baez. An attorney I'm not, but a lot of us sat back with our mouths open thinking, holy crap, did this guy drop the ball already?
Well, you know, I've not been a fan of his, and for the last 3 years, a fan of his style, a fan of the way he's handled this case. I just don't understand it for the life of me. And he's been all over the media for the longest time. He was like a moth attracted to a flame and just couldn't stay away from the cameras. And I don't understand for the life of me, if you're representing somebody, why you tell your enemy your battle plan, figuratively. I mean, over and over again, he went ahead and signaled his defenses to the media. And then, of course, the prosecution and law enforcement would listen and prepare, and then one after another, like dominoes, they would fall, and he would come up with another theory. I mean, it was everything from Grund to the body being moved, which we hear now, Kronk, Fanny the Nanny. I mean, it's been one thing after another, and it's just amazing to me. And now I think that they've painted themselves in a corner. We predicted long ago, I don't know why I speak of plural when I'm talking about myself, I predicted long ago that he would be an accidental death and an accidental drowning, and sure, lo and behold, it's all he had left, and that's where they're proceeding.
You know, I was talking with Diane Diamond just before you came on the program, and we were laughing a little bit about poor old Wile E. Coyote from the old Roadrunner cartoon getting blamed for everything, and now he's even getting blamed in this case. The strategy of a defense attorney is to try and, say this layman's term, to bring reasonable doubt so you can get your client off. Has this case brought any sort of doubt to the juror's mind except doubt about the competence of the accused attorney?
Well, you know, you never know what's in a jury's mind. I've been blessed with a phenomenal win record in a career, and I can remember the one true loss that I had many years ago, and where it was just a slam dunk, and it turned out the jury forewoman called me, my single days, called me and invited me to go on a date after they found my client guilty. My client was so impressed with what was going on, wanted to actually, didn't want to take the stand and wanted to sue everybody. And it was almost like the judge and the court deputies were almost taking bets about how long they would take to come back with a not guilty. And we got a slam dunk against us, and the prosecutor was good, but mediocre. And it was just, the jury just simply believed another side, and that's what happened. And it happens, you never know. I listened to a local poll here recently, and 85% of the people believe she's guilty. But 15% believe she's not.
Right.
Now, if that's representative of a 12-person jury, that means that there's arguably two holdouts. 15% of 12 people is just about two people. So, you know, you got to have 12 in order to convict. But it is, in my opinion, a completely failed defense. I, for the life of me, don't understand how they can claim that there's an accidental drowning, but then challenge the dog alerting in the backyard. How they can challenge the fact that there is chloroform. Chloroform, I can understand them challenging. Truthfully, that's going to be the one thing that does her in. But the bodily fluids of this dear departed child in the trunk of the car. How can they be claiming, I mean, who else's body, decomposing body, would it be but for hers?
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
Attorney Mark McJames here. You know, let's talk about the cameras in the courtroom, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on that. Have the attorneys, and we've all seen the chastising by the judge and the possible sanctions, and I can go to the Rodriguez, the body farm guy, the screw up there, now River Cruz coming forward, this Vasco Thompson, which will turn out to be a disaster. Is there been some of this pandering because of the cameras, and what is your thoughts about that, how the coverage has been for this trial, Mark? Because I'll be honest with you, I, when you watch the headline news and stuff, besides yourself, Bill Schaefer, maybe Vinny a little bit, Diane Diamond, who I've just had on the show, a lot of it's been very slanted towards the defense, and I think I heard you or someone else say, you can't believe these people are watching the same trial. Let's talk about the trial and the coverage of it.
Well, I think that this is the first trial that has really been captured in real time on the internet. And it's almost like the public has become interactive with the trial itself. People have analogized this case to the OJ case. I don't see similarities. She was not a celebrity. People years ago followed O.J. He was a celebrity, the all-American guy, and was accused of this heinous murder. Well, people followed it closely, but it was on their TVs. Well, now people are watching it on their TVs, but they have cable. It's real time. You've got this cast of characters that seems to surround this. Everybody's on the internet. They're blogging. In real time, somebody says or does something. Records can be dug up. I mean, I've seen on your blog sites. I mean, it's incredible what some people dig up and find. I will also share that some of the theories from some of the people are absolutely preposterous. But nevertheless, they grab hold into the public mind and psyche, and people start running with it. So it's a fascinating situation that we're seeing happen, and it's going to be happening more as we get more and more into a digital age and an electronic age.
You know, we were talking a little bit off air with Facebook and Twitter, and you have a following now on Facebook and Twitter. Of course, Scared Monkeys with the blogs and the social media, I guess, and even in this case, the internet searches and all of the stuff, the emails and you name it. How big is the internet, social media, and the way that the people are craving information in this case to the actual outcome of this case? Because you know as well as I do, there isn't a juror on that panel that hasn't heard about this and that hasn't already formed an opinion. I hate to say that, but that's my opinion.
Well, I'm very concerned about juror number 4. She was the one that said that she does not judge people. And I'm very concerned that if there is a hung jury, it will be because she's the holdout. I feel that that's a lot of kind of questions in that one question. I feel like the state has overplayed their hand in some respects. I think that Jeff Ashton is an excellent attorney. I've been against Jeff for years. I know Linda. I've been against her. But I think that the duct tape issue is problematic for the prosecution. I'm kind of going afield a bit from your question, but I'm not convinced that the duct tape was an instrument of death. I believe absolutely the chloroform was. But the duct tape is such that I'm not convinced that that jury is convinced that it was applied post-mortem. That it wasn't applied post-mortem, and that it could have been applied after David died. To maintain and hold in bodily fluids. I'm sorry to be so graphic. But the reality of it is that there was no binding of the hands. If you're going to suffocate somebody and put three strips over their mouth and or nose, then one would think that if they're intended to suffocate and to wake up at some point, they could be ripping that off. And also, if somebody with true premeditation had planned this heinous crime, one would think that they would have planned the burial much better than what appears to have occurred here. I think that the best case for the prosecution is that there is aggravated child abuse using chloroform. Chloroform with a child of that age is impermissible under any scenario or set of circumstances. And in Florida, if there's aggravated child abuse that leads to death, it's first-degree murder. And I'm very concerned that if the state doesn't make it clear to the jurors that it can be chloroform, it can be the tape, or it can be both, but it doesn't have to necessarily include the tape, I think that's the point that they have to make in order to have the best chance at a conviction.
One last question for you, Mark McJame. Is Casey going to take the stand?
I don't see how she can't take the stand. There's been a lot of discussion and debate about it, but long ago I said she has to, particularly when you hear what I consider to be that outrageous opening statement from Jose Baez. There is no other way for him to establish his case, the theory of defense, other than her taking the stand. There's nobody else to tell that tale. And her lies are going to get in whether she takes the stand or not. So it makes the most sense for her to take the stand. And every time they say, isn't it true you lied about this and lied about that, she comes back and says, yes, but I was afraid or whatever and fill in the blanks. Because she believed, remember, this is a woman who was pretending to go to work for 2 years. This is a woman who's lied, he's a professional liar. And there's hardly a thing that she has said that isn't a lie. She believes she can convince people of her story. I'm convinced of it. And her lawyer has told the story that she is apparently telling, and she believes she's going to convince those 12 people.
It should be interesting.
There's no other way to tell the story. How else do you tell his opening statement unless it comes from her mouth? You look at the witness list, there's no smoking guns, there's no surprises, there's nobody on that witness list that can tell the story unless it comes from her lips.
Yeah, for sure. Mark McJane, listen, I really appreciate it. I know you're a busy man.
My pleasure. We have just recently started up, you know, if anybody wants to follow, we're giving regular updates. I mean, been on Facebook for a while, but Mark McJane, at Mark McJane on Twitter, is if anybody's wanting to follow what we're doing. We're really, you know, handling this a lot and attempting to answer people's questions as best as we can.
Absolutely. I hope you can come on again sometime.
It'd be my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mark. Bye-bye. That's Mark McJane, attorney from Orlando. Been in the business a long time. Represented George and Cindy Anthony. We talked a little bit about that off air. We'll be back in just a minute. This is the Dana Pretzer Show with Blink from Blink on Crime. Kind of a reverse order here. We were going to have Mark on last, but he called me and asked if he could come on a little early, and that's not a problem. We're always accommodating here. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. And I just said to my next guest, I'm going to have to get you to speak up a little bit louder. And she says she can do that. And I believe that. Blink from Blink on Crime. You know, I got a strange buzz in the phone line. I think coyotes have been eating it. And maybe they're burying bodies in my backyard. I'm not sure. How are you, ma'am?
I'm well, Dana. How are you?
Well, it's we're flooding up here. There's a 115 feet of water. I'm building my ark. But I got to ask you this question because this is kind of you and I. Blink, what time is it?
It's hammer time?
No, not hammer time. No, we're going to do the Ashton Baez thing the other day with the judge. So what time is it?
It's 9:48 p.m.
Okay.
Eastern Standard Time.
And I say it's 9:48 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See, we can't agree on something.
We can.
I blew this bit, didn't I?
I appreciate it.
All right. Mark McJane, thank you for assisting in bringing him on the program tonight. Nice guy. Very busy. But, you know, I said Bill Schaefer. I said him. Diane Diamond, yourself. There's about five or six that are saying it like it is, and that's so important in this case because there's a lot of, I will call it, Leonard Padilla-like buffoonery going on out there when it comes to reporting this case, and I, for one, am getting sick of it. Linda Kenny Bodden is, she should have a cooking show or something. I'm getting sick of her seeing her on Headline News.
Well, you know, I don't know Ms. Bodden, Kenny Bodden, outside of her professional appearance, but as you know, Marcy James is a dear friend of mine, and he's a genuine guy. I mean, how often do you hear a defense attorney that takes the position of the deceased? They just don't. And he's right. I mean, it absolutely is about the case. But by the same token, this is a gentleman that's a, you know, 30-year practicing defense attorney in Orange County and in the state of Florida, and he's a dad. He's got some young gals, and I have to say that I think that I don't want to, you know, quantify somebody, but I think it changes people.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes criminal defense attorneys get a bad rap. And I think, you know, he's the antithesis of that. He gets it.
You have to be as old as Red and I to understand this next bit, but not as old as Werner Spitzo. I don't think anybody is that old. But seeing him testify the other day, and stumbling around with that skull on the stand, as gross as that may be, and even he was putting the top of the skull cap, I think they call it, back on backwards. It reminded me of when my kids were little and I had that game Operation. I don't know if they have that anymore. I sent you a cartoon of it where you had the body and you picked the little pieces out of it. This guy, and I think Jose Baez, he keeps striking out. I don't know how many strikes he's going to get. Has been nothing but losing it with his so-called forensic experts. In fact, he's been just dotting more I's for the prosecution. Or am I wrong?
You're not wrong. And, you know, I did a piece on this, and it's just sad. Honestly, I mean, this is a gentleman that has forensic pathologist that has a 56-year career in some of the nation's, and I underscore nation's, largest cases. And we come to, you know, little Kaylee Anthony, which is certainly, in my opinion, as important as the cases that she has been involved in, interpretably so. But here's the thing. What he said is not forensically supported anywhere.
No.
It makes no sense at all. I mean, just even from a layman's term, you're not going to tell me that this child's head was fully skeletonized with no soft tissue when duct tape was applied. It does not corroborate any of the physical evidence. Well, actually, it's all circumstantial in this case, but you understand what I'm saying. There's no evidence to corroborate what he's saying, and frankly, it flies in the face of logic.
Yeah.
From the layman, not just a forensic pathologist.
Even as whatever he is, he wasn't even up on the case itself. He kind of just stumbled and bumbled his way through. And let's get to this a little bit. And Blink from BlinkOnCrime.com is here. Let's talk about what's going to come up. We've got the dreaded river cruise we've been talking about on your blog site and here at Scared Monkeys for years now. We've this Vasco Thompson. It just seems like one stumble after the next for Jose Baez and his witnesses, and you gotta wonder, is he doing this to try and get a mistrial, or is he just that incompetent?
He has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
Dana, I mean, I don't mean to say that disrespectfully, but it's true. He has no idea what he's doing. He's throwing whatever against the wall and hoping it sticks, and as a result, he's on his third infraction / contempt issue as it relates to the order regarding expert witnesses. That's where we are. And to that point, Bill Rodriguez, who gave his claim to fame as a co-founder of the Body Farm, thanks to Red and the folks at Scared Monkeys, Blink on Crime, this gentleman is no longer a witness. He was a huge witness for the defense. He's a Tafonic guru, if you will. And his witness testimony changed substantially, and that was an issue. You know, we all talked about the fact that Judge Perry issued an order and said, you know what, here's the thing, you're late to the party, if you will, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but you're late to the party, so what your opinions are and what you're going to fact find needs to be in your report or your deposition. Well, this happened either or. And this gentleman has an excellent resume, an excellent CV. I have no idea why he would have fluffed it to say he was a co-founder of the Body Farm. He clearly was not. And he's done.
Yeah, it is amazing, and again, kudos to you guys and those at Scared Monkeys for breaking that story, for lack of a better term. Let's get into River Cruise a little bit, and if you get into River Cruise, no, that's a joke I don't want to go to. I can't believe I said that. Here you have someone who's claiming to have had an affair with George Anthony. In her deposition, I've read it, she says she didn't, but now she is, and she's doing interviews after being subpoenaed by the defense. Now, you and I both know you can be subpoenaed but not called. Is she a distraction for the defense, or do you think she'll actually take the stand?
I think she'll take the stand, but I also think she's a distraction. I think Crystal Holloway, which is her real name, I think that she will be compelled by the defense to tell a story to discredit George Anthony. And that being said, I think there's a few developments today that are noteworthy outside of Ms. Holloway. Because honestly, Dana, that's a bit of white noise. It really is. I think the defense could spend weeks, if not months, putting on folks that they think peripherally may or may not bolster their defense, which in this case is a defense of a non-strategic origin, as far as I'm concerned, because nobody's getting it. There isn't any day of testimony that has walked away saying, wow, here was the effect of that testimony, and or here's how it affected the prosecution the prosecution case. It didn't happen. And therefore, I'm not sure how that translates. But when you get to this, I'll call it like a tabloid witness, because she is.
Yeah.
I mean, George Anthony is no model citizen.
No.
Respectfully, he is Kaylee Marie Anthony's grandfather, and I think that he does deserve the respect as it relates to what he is now doing to support her legacy, if you will. But it's what it is. I don't think there's any legs to it. I think that the rebuttal case from the prosecution is going to shear up exactly what's going on. And I also think today, when the forensic computer information was handed as new discovery, which was not new, by the way, and Jose Baez argued that the graphics of SAME were new to him, it's just ridiculous. It was, as yet, another time where they're unprepared for their case, and it is what it is.
When we say, we talk about this from Blink on Crime is here, and I think you called it tabloid witness, and a little earlier on I called it reality show defense with Snooki might be the next lawyer that's going to come forward to help Mr. Baez. But really, And with the Coyote comment today, you know, poor Wile E. Coyote back in the Roadrunner cartoons got all the blame, and you know, he was holding a stick of dynamite when it blew up, or he got all. And Jeff Ashton almost laughed. In fact, he did snicker a little bit. Is that a worry for you that maybe the prosecution is going to get a little bit too overconfident? I don't think so, but I've seen and heard that a little bit from some of the talking heads. But then again, what they say and 25 cents may not get you a cup of coffee.
Well, I will say this, Dana. When you're dealing with a jury, I don't care who it is, nobody knows.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Mark D. James, my dear friend, on earlier, and I know because I've had this conversation with him. There is no way you're going to read a jury in any case. The work that you put forth as a defense attorney or as the state or as a prosecutor is going to dictate what you have, you know, you're offering, but the jury is going to decide, and the jury is not readable. It really isn't. People do their best, but you can't. You can't understand, you know, in this case, for Casey's case, it's 20 people. Now, they're not going to all deliberate. It's going to be 12, but you still can't assume them. And I heard Mark say about juror number 4.
Right.
And we've all had somewhat of a sensitivity to that juror from the beginning, because that specifically is a juror that the state wanted to exercise their voir dire motion to strike them. And what happened was it was a race issue. So I think there's everybody is a little bit hypersensitive to that. I want to tell everybody, let it go. I think this case is going, in a way, it's a runaway. And you would think that somebody that has followed this case for 3 years would be okay with that. But I'm not, because I think there's 100 appellate issues and overturn issues that come with that. And that's why you're seeing a bit of, you had asked me about if the case, or I'm sorry, if the state was somewhat, I don't think you use the word arrogant, but I think it, that's a fair question. And I don't think that they're arrogant, but I think that they have that burden in mind. And I think, in a way, they're almost pulling back. If that makes sense. It's almost like playing a not equal team in any sport, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes total sense to me. Blink from Blink on Crimes here. Let's talk about Linda Kenny-Bodden, who I'm pitching for a cooking show on Food Network, because I think she'd do a hell of a lot better on there than she's been doing as a correspondent on Headline News. Red sends a little note to me here. It says, she brought us Bug Boy Huntington to the case for the defense. Need I say more? What happened with that guy? Did he get raid sprayed on him or what?
Dr. Huntington, Timothy Huntington. Well, first of all, she brought us many people. And by the way, her first choice, her first call, was Neil Haskell, Dr. Haskell.
Yeah.
And he is obviously the state's entomologist, forensic entomologist of choice. So when you start out being second choice, how well does that go? Ever.
Yeah, exactly.
But Linda Kenny-Bodden, you know, to that question, is the caveat for many of the witnesses, defense witnesses in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And to have seen her, and you and I talked about it last week, where she was, you know, signed on to in session and saying, you know what, here I am, let's talk about the defense, yada yada. It's just wrong. You know, she's a fantastic attorney. I'm not going to take that away from her, with the exception that her last case resulted in a conviction.
Yep.
Say it one more time slowly. Conviction of Phil Spector. So, I don't know. Is it like you and I, where we have, you know, a competition of some kind, and we want to come back as a winner? Winning?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
We don't say.
Could be like that.
We don't say conviction in Canada. We say he got nailed, and we're talking about the ever-charming Phil Spector and other putts that we covered here on this program. Blank from Blink on Crime is here. Between today and when I have you back on again next Tuesday, what do you expect us to see and hear?
I expect some sort of explanation as to Dr. Rodriguez. Because it doesn't happen in a vacuum that you can have a, you know, grossly appropriate on all points expert witness that goes bye-bye. It doesn't happen. You have to have an explanation to the jury. I think that's part of it. I also think that what we're going to see is we're going to see, you know, what you and I refer to as the TMZ, the, the rag kind of information that comes with George, you know, Crystal Holloway, these, you know, seedy types. I think it's coming. I have no idea why they think that is an effective defense, because nobody does.
No.
It's not just me. You heard Mark E.J. earlier say, I have no idea. That doesn't make any sense. 30 years in the business, and he would not, you know, put on, not speaking for him, but he would not put on a defense like that. And I think that you're going to see, you know, the salacious side of this. I think that you're going to see what we knew was coming, but in a weird way, we were like, don't go down the steps, because then you'll see it. It's going to be presented to us, unfortunately. I'm sad that, you know, some of, and I wrote a piece today, I'm sad that some of the pioneer experts, you know, take, for instance, Dr. Fitz.
Yep.
With a 56-year, almost nearly 60-year history as a premier forensic pathologist, goes out like this.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's one of probably five. It's sad to me that these folks in their, you know, twilight attack themselves to a case that, I guess, in a legacy perspective, pale to JFK or Martin Luther King. I mean, really? I get that it's prominent now, but Casey Anthony is not, you know, the JFK or Martin Luther King of 2008/2011. Although, I'd like to say, Kaylee Anthony, the victim in this crime, and it was heinous. It was heinous, as Mark Eugene indicated earlier, deserves the exact attention, in my opinion, that they received for justice. This child, this baby, 34 months old, deserves to have her legacy restored. And all these, well-read, well-educated individuals and professionals, I don't feel, on the defense side, are contemplating that. I don't feel that they're, that's their burden or their beacon. For me.
You know, and I want to ask you, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about April Whalen, but you're right. And, we've been making fun of it a little bit here, and again, I'm not questioning, Spitz's credentials, but maybe he and Wadden should audition for Dancing with the Stars. Listen, Buzz Aldrin was on there, and he's 89, and he did a pretty good job. So, but let's talk about April Whalen, and then we'll let you go, Blink, from Blink on Crime.
Well, Ms. Whalen actually had a son that passed on. He was, I want to say, 15 months, but don't quote me, because this is late coming this afternoon. And I haven't covered it because of the fact that we don't know if this is case relevant.
Right.
It may be or may not be, but it was the fact that it was a 15-year-old young boy, and his mother, April, unfortunately, has had a drug problem for a variety of years. And this child was drowned in the pool, and it was found by his grandfather. And apparently, she was incarcerated at the same time that Casey was incarcerated. And although there's no direct evidence today, not to say that there isn't any, but there's no direct evidence today that they had a conversation, there's certainly nothing to exclude the fact that Casey would have been birthed in April's story. You're not going to get past the fact that there's a substantially similar case in which Casey has a cellmate at an undisclosed time frame whereby her child died in the swimming pool and the grandfather, hint hint, came upon the deceased, and there has been no charges filed in this case. It was deemed to be an accident. Now, Ms. Whalen is not an upstanding citizen. She's got some, problems, dependency problems. That has nothing to do with what happened to her child, as I understand it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I think the term never a dull moment will continue when it comes to this case. Blink from blinkoncrime.com, always a pleasure, and I see it as 10:09 p.m. Eastern, and I'm sure you do because we agree about everything, and we'll catch you next week.
My best, Dana. Thanks so much. Look forward to it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Blink from Blink on Crime, and that's it. That's this week's Dana Pretzer Show. More coverage on the Anthony trial to come next week. Don't forget our website, www.scaredbunkiesradio.com. Thank you to all my guests, and we'll see you again real soon.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.